On Tech News Today, a new report says teens aren't leaving Facebook after all. Plus, DJI's got a cool new drone, and you won't believe what Apple did in order to create an animated watch face for the Apple Watch. It's all coming up right now on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
It's time for Twit's annual audience survey, and we want to hear from you. Please visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It only takes a few minutes, and your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. We thank you so much for your continued support. twit.tv/survey.
This is Tech News Today for Thursday, April 9th, 2015. This episode is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other Apple products are worth at gazelle.com. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 50-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news of the journalists who report it. My name is Mike Elgin. Welcome to the show. And our co-anchor today is CNET writer Shara Tipkin. Welcome to you, Shara.
Hey, guys.
So glad you're here. Now, this is episode, believe it or not, of Tech News Today, episode 1234. 1,234. So it's kind of a special day, kind of, sort of. And you've been covering the Apple Watch heavily, and we've got a little bit of Apple Watch news that's really kind of weird near the end of the show, and I can't wait to talk about that. I'll give you a little preview. It speaks to Apple's total obsessiveness and extremeness about sweating the details. We'll get to that near the end of the show, but for now, let's jump into the top story. A new study says teens use Facebook and even Google Plus far more than previously thought. The Pew Research Center found that 71% of teens aged 13 to 17 use Facebook, for example, which contradicts the conventional wisdom that teens have abandoned Facebook for smaller social networks and messaging apps. Caitlin Houston is a reporter for MarketWatch and joins us now to talk about this report. Welcome to you, Caitlin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on again. And now, I thought all the teens bailed on Facebook for Snapchat, but what did Pew report about Snapchat's numbers compared to Facebook's numbers?
Yeah, that's what everyone thinks, that everyone is going towards Snapchat. And it does place highly. I believe it was in third place with 41%. But Facebook is still clearly the lead with 71%, and it's the most frequently used. So they don't only have it, they're going to it the most.
So what about Instagram? I think that that's one that people have said is popular with the younger kids. So
yes.
What are we seeing with that still?
That is very true. It comes in second place with 52%, and it's obviously owned by Facebook. So this is very good news for Facebook overall. But maybe the biggest surprise of this is that Twitter and Google Plus were tied for fourth place in terms of the networks that teens are using.
Now, Twitter's pretty straightforward because Twitter is Twitter, but Google Plus is a more complex situation. I mean, I spend a lot of time on Google Plus, and I don't see a lot of teenagers wandering around there. What is behind those Google Plus numbers?
Yeah, so it's a little misleading. So it seems like they're using it pretty passively. One of the reasons it might be ranked up there is because they have a Google account through school or some kind of Gmail account. And previously, Google Plus had users opt in. So in order to set up a Gmail, you'd have to have a Google Plus account. And that's still true if you want to comment on YouTube videos, which the teens are doing, I guess, that you need one of these Google Plus accounts.
So what about Vine, Tumblr, some of these other areas? Are teens using those, or are they kind of sticking to like Facebook and Instagram?
Yes, those are also on the list. So this survey was looking at six main platforms and then had a seventh category of kind of miscellaneous things. And Vine came in just after Twitter and Google at 24%. Tumblr was at 14%.
Now, there's the question of whether or not teens use one social network or another. And then there's the other question of how much they use it. How much do we know from this study about how much teens are using these different social networks?
So the takeaway is that they're not really loyal to one at all. I think it was around 71% are using multiple networks and they're using them for different things. And that's where Google Plus really takes a beating because only 5% of teens are using it the most often.
Yeah, and this is one of those confusing things about Google Plus because they integrated and then they partially disintegrated the password for Google Plus. So essentially my guess is for the most part, these teens are reporting that whether they know they're using Google Plus or not. For example, I would be stunned if only 33% of teens that age are using YouTube, and YouTube requires a Google Plus password, which theoretically means that they could be counted as Google Plus users. And so it seems too high for actual Google Plus usage, but way too low for YouTube usage. So the Google Plus number, I think, is not as trustworthy as probably some of these other numbers. It doesn't really say what it seems to say. And so that is something to be taken with a grain of salt. But I think that in general, this is a somewhat surprising study. Caitlin Houston is at MarketWatch.com, and you can follow her on Twitter at HoustonCA. Thanks for joining us today, Caitlin.
Thanks so much.
Let us know what you think about teens and the usage of various social networks and messaging apps. Just send email to tnt@twit.tv and let us know what's on your mind in that regard. We'll get some more news for you in just a minute, but first let me tell you about Gazelle. Gazelle will help you buy that new Apple Watch. You're going to need lots of money, hundreds of dollars, or thousands if you want to buy the gold one. And you have the money lying around gathering dust in the form of old tablets, old iPhones, old MacBook Pros, whatever it is that you've got lying around, Gazelle will buy it. Just go to Gazelle, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com, indicate the product you'd like to sell to them, indicate its condition, and they're going to send you a box. Just throw it in the box and off it goes and you get paid fast. They'll even buy your old iPod if you got one of those. Believe it or not, and they've found that 9 out of 10 of their customers have an excellent experience with Gazelle. I've always had excellent experiences with Gazelle as well, selling them devices and raising money for my next goodie. But they will also now sell you phones and tablets. They come in certified like new categories and also certified good. The certified like new ones are just like brand new devices, but cheaper. And the certified good means that they show some gentle signs of wear, but they're really inexpensive, really good deals. This is the way to get a better device for the same money. That's the way I like to look at it. If you have a budget for your next device, get a better device by buying it from Gazelle. Find out what your iPhone's worth. Take a minute and go to gazelle.com to find out. And we thank Gazelle for their support of Tech News Today. Well, personal drone leader DJI unveiled yesterday a new camera drone at a new price, bringing professional quality aerial video capability to the consumer marketplace. Frank B. wrote about the new drones for Forbes and joins us now. Welcome, Frank.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Now, the Phantom 3 comes in two versions. One costs only $999, and the other one costs $1,259. What's the difference between these two drones?
So the $1,259, the professional one, it comes in gold. The advanced one is $1,000, like you said. It comes in silver. But the biggest difference is the camera. So the professional one shoots 4K, and the silver edition, or what you call the advanced, only shoots 1080p.
So, I mean, how big of demand do you think there is for 4K drones at this point? Like, I think that, you know, there's not a ton of content. Not everyone has a 4K TV. So, you know, are they just kind of future-proofing it, or what was the thought behind that?
Yeah, I think it's still a pretty big deal. Picture-wise or quality-wise, it's very important. A couple months ago in November, DJI released the Inspire 1. That's a $2,900 drone. That comes in 4K. Previously, the earlier Phantoms, you'd shoot with the GoPro. Those come in 4K, especially the Hero 4, et cetera. So it's going to be a big deal. I think a lot of people are going to love the pricing, especially that is actually cheaper than the Phantom 2 Vision Plus that came out last year. That was priced at, I believe it was like $1,300. So it's $40 cheaper than the previous drone with equal camera capabilities.
Frank, can you tell us about DJI's Lightbridge technology?
Yeah, so it's a communication protocol that's available in Inspire 1. If you buy it separately, it costs $1,400. So built into the Phantom 3 is kind of a big deal. It allows live streaming, first-person view, up to a mile range and HD quality. So a lot of people like to fly when they can't see their drone. They can see the live video and be able to navigate it better.
So what other sort of features does this have?
For the Phantom 3, correct?
Yeah, sorry, for the Phantom 3.
Big part is going to be also a flight simulator. So flying drones isn't easy. First time you fly a drone, if you didn't have a flight simulator, they'd recommend buying one. It's a lot of muscle memory, so that's going to be great. You're going to learn how to practice. You're going to learn how to fly before you actually take off. And, you know, you're eventually going to crash it, so might as well do it in a simulator first. There's going to be the huge thing I think a lot of people are talking about is the live streaming feature. So you could fly a drone live and stream it directly to YouTube. They had a demo yesterday at the launch event. They were flying in Singapore. They were flying in L.A., and the video is being streamed directly to YouTube for everyone to see.
What a world. Now, you said that DJI is the world's largest manufacturer of consumer drones. Can you tell us more about this company? Because I think a lot of people don't know much about DJI.
Yeah, so they're a Chinese-based company. They're based in Shenzhen. They're very well-known. Their best product is the Phantom. It's the one that crashed in the White House, so everybody's kind of known, has seen it now.
You can't buy that kind of publicity.
And they've written in other publications that they recorded $500 million in revenue last year, and they might exceed $1 billion this year.
Now, one last question for you, Frank. You pointed out in your article that 3D Robotics rolled out a drone this week. Can you tell us a bit about that product?
Yeah, so they had a teaser video released on Tuesday. It starts on monkeys, started them playing with the solo drone, maybe alluding to the fact of how easy it's going to be to use. But from what we can see from the video, it's going to be very consumer-friendly. 3ER has built other drones before, but this one is going to be well-packaged. It looks a lot like the Phantom in the video itself. That's going to be released on Monday. We're going to know a lot more about it on Monday.
Well, for those of you wondering what sort of gift you can buy me personally, your answers, your problems are solved, because I'll take the more expensive one of these. I really, really want one, although I'm afraid I'll crash it. I'll have to use that simulator if I do get one. Frank B. is at Forbes.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Frankie B, and B is spelled B-I. Thank you so much for joining us today, Frankie.
Thanks.
All right. Well, after failing to debut her new Ghost Town video on Meerkat Tuesday, Madonna tried again yesterday and mostly succeeded. Recode's Carmel DeAmicus interviewed Meerkat CEO about all this, and she joins us now to talk about it. Welcome to you, Carmel.
Hello. Good to be here. I feel like this is a long time in coming.
I know. I've been inviting you for like a year. We finally got you on. Well, first of all, congratulations on your new job at Recode.
Thank you. Day four.
And I think that when your job was announced, they said something about you chasing unicorns or something like that. What was that all about?
So the way Kara described the job to me when she recruited me was that I would be on the unicorn beat, so covering the billion-dollar-plus companies. And we're still sticking with that, but we've gotten a lot of pushback. So I'm actually working on a story you might see tomorrow on the term unicorn, where it came from and why people hate it so much.
I see. Now, what happened with Madonna's Ghost Town debut Tuesday? Why did that not happen?
Yeah, so I actually can't talk about that because the founder, Ben, was not willing to comment on the record about the first failure. But I can talk about Wednesday's glitch, which was the result of a server scaling problem. Basically, they were preparing for all of Madonna's fans to watch the video, and so they were both automatically and manually scaling up Meerkat servers, and
it
caused
a
bug. Yeah, and so they figured it out after about 10 minutes and the video premiered. But if you read the tweet stream, it wasn't great for Meerkat. It was a lot of people angry that Madonna had picked Meerkat to debut the video. But then once it got going, people were pretty happy.
So do you think this is going to prevent other artists from going with Meerkat? Or did the CEO say anything about what they're doing to make sure it actually goes smoothly next time?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the typical kind of growing pain for a young startup. And the difference being that Meerkat, just like Periscope, has had sort of a meteoric rise. It's very few apps that would get that level of pop star using them in such early days. But I don't think there's going to be too many problems in the future. And I don't think it'll necessarily stop stars from using it because Jimmy Fallon's production company is actually an investor in Meerkat. So they do have pretty good connections to like, the Hollywood community for securing those kinds of leads. Although he would not tell me whether or not that's where Madonna came from. I think he said no, but he wouldn't say how he met Madonna.
Well, they'd never done it before. So you might say they were kind of like a virgin in that sense. So the thing was delayed by 10 minutes yesterday. Was that a different problem? What happened then?
No, that was the scaling problem.
Okay, I see.
The day before was not a technical issue. I can say that. It was not related to a technical failure, but I'm not able to say any more about that.
So did the CEO tell you anything else, you know, kind of where he sees Meerkat going or, you know, what it's been like getting, you know, so much interest so quickly for them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he thinks that there's room for both Meerkat and Periscope on the market, which, you know, maybe is an optimistic viewpoint, but he did make a good argument, which was that, you know, we use Skype and Google Hangouts and FaceTime, and you end up using the different products kind of in different situations. Maybe you're going to FaceTime your friends when you're lying in bed, but you're going to do Skype when you're coming on Tech News Today. And so he thinks that Meerkat and Periscope will have kind of a similar divergence where you're going to turn to Meerkat for the more ephemeral, in-the-moment live streaming where you kind of just like want to capture something, but you don't want the pressure of it being saved forever, sort of like Snapchat, because Meerkat video streams aren't saved within the app afterwards. People can only see it when you're live. Whereas with Periscope, you go live, but then it's saved. And so it almost becomes like a repository of video, more like YouTube, but again, kind of still in the moment. And so the words he used to describe where he thinks they're going to go is beautiful for Periscope, like kind of capturing these perfect moments or things that you want saved. And then Meerkat will be more immediate when maybe you weren't planning it to go live or to show something live, but in the moment it feels right. So that's his hope. But we'll see. It's early days yet.
What's your personal preference, Meerkat or Periscope?
I don't think journalists are supposed to say that we have preferences, but I do hold a soft spot in my heart for Meerkat because, you know, I interviewed Ben in its like third day of existence when like the Wall Street Journal had already done a story on it. And he was just so down to earth in talking about how he's seen live streaming fail before. And he basically was telling me, don't believe the hype. Like this has failed before. You know, we watched it fail with our former product, Yevo. And, you know, we've got to figure out how to keep people around this time. The novelty wears off. And it was so refreshing to hear a founder who understands that there is like a hype cycle and gets that, you know, there's like a danger to that. So I do have a soft spot in my heart for Meerkat, but Periscope has all the power and backing of Twitter, and that's nothing to sneer at. So I'm not really sure who's going to be the winner in the long run.
Yeah, he has the advantage of having failed in the past, and so he's been through it all and now is unfazed by all of the ups and downs and hype and the deflation of hype and all the rest. So, yeah, he's a cool guy. So, interesting interview. Carmel D'Amicus is now at Recode, now 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And you can follow her on Twitter
formerly
at Carmel.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, yeah. yep. And you can follow her on Twitter at Carmel DEA. Thanks for joining us today, Carmel.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, hackers claiming to support ISIS temporarily knocked out 11 channels on the French public television station TV5 Monde and also hacked its social media feeds. French President François Hollande called the hack a vile and cowardly attack on free speech and promised to hunt down the perps. The attackers posted on TV5 Monde's Facebook page what they claimed were identity cards of relatives of French soldiers involved in operations against ISIS, along with threats against those troops. Shara, this is the most impressive part of this hack from just the standpoint of a hack is that they hacked both social media feeds and the station itself. Either of those in isolation, you could chalk it up to, you know, you get lucky. What hackers tend to do is they look at large numbers of targets. And so, you know, they might try 100 places and get into one of them because of lack security or for some other reason. And then they pretend like they can get in anywhere. They pretend like they're all powerful, which isn't the case. But here they actually hacked two different categories of properties. And so that's probably the most impressive part of this. Did you have any thoughts on this and just in general, these attacks on speech that tend to happen in France?
Well, I mean, I would assume that in the wake of this, everybody's going to be, every television station is going to be looking a little bit at their security and making sure that that they're safe, or, you know, at least at less risk for this. But the free speech issue, you know, is definitely concerning. And it's crazy to see this stuff happening. And it seems like we're hearing about a new hack, you know, all the time, basically. And I don't know. I don't even know what you do about this, you know, how you slow this down.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be any way to stop these kinds of hacks. And of course, you know, the White House is getting hacked. The U.S. State Department is getting hacked. The Pentagon is getting hacked. All these companies that service the U.S. government get hacked, and oftentimes by Chinese who are just harvesting data about people's medical records and all kinds of stuff like that. It's like it's a crazy world, and it seems like, you know, it's an arms race, and they're always going to be, you know, every time you put up a wall, there's going to be somebody who figures out how to tunnel under it or go over it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of thing is just going to go on and on and on. And at some point, it's just going to be a banality. We probably stop reporting these kinds of hacks at some point because they're just going to be happening every day. So that's just the world we live in. Well, in product update news, Twitter now supports slow motion videos created by the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus at long last. Facebook Messenger now has its own website, by the way, messenger.com. Facebook spun out Messenger from the main Facebook mobile app a year ago, but it was available via browser only inside facebook.com. We can expect Facebook now to remove the Messenger feature from facebook.com, just a prediction on my part, and force PC users to go to messenger.com. Have you checked out messenger.com, Shara?
I haven't, but I hope they don't make you go there to actually chat. Like, I think that I think a lot of people are using Messenger, Facebook Messenger, while they're actually on Facebook as well. And I don't think you're going to want to navigate back and forth between two windows. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they'll do, but hopefully they'll keep the option where you could still use it in the Facebook page as well.
Well, I hope so too, but I'm not going to hold my breath. They don't really care if people don't want to go to different apps. They want as many apps and as many sites as they can possibly have. And then they can harvest data on all of them and serve up ads on most of them. And that's the model that they seem to be pursuing. So I would expect, the messaging feature of Facebook.com to be ripped out unceremoniously anytime now. Well, in mergers and acquisitions news, LinkedIn announced today that is buying the online education company Lynda.com in a cash and stock deal valued at around $1.5 billion. Full disclosure, Lynda.com is a Twit sponsor. Apple last year secretly bought a startup called Dryft, D-R-Y-F-T, which made keyboard apps. The Dryft keyboard appears on screen only when the user puts fingers on the display. Such technology would be ideal for large screen touch displays, such as, for example, a 13-inch iPad or even a large touch iMac of some kind in the future. TechCrunch discovered the acquisition yesterday by looking at the LinkedIn profile for Drift's former CTO, who says he now works at Apple. You know, there's something to be said for just slogging through the LinkedIn profiles of people who work at companies that mysteriously vanished.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they had a story this week, too, where they, you know, they thought Apple had bought a company because they had a, you know, one of the guys from a startup had a patent filing or something. So, you know, it definitely just takes time to go through all of these and look up people and see what's happening. I'm sure LinkedIn has some way to set up alerts, too, but I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. They're probably IFTTT. There's probably something that could be done there. That's a great idea for you enterprising journalists. And I know there are many of you watching the show. Well, we've got more news for you in just a minute, but first, let's talk about ZipRecruiter. You want to hire the best people? You want to hire the kind of people who would slog through LinkedIn profiles looking for news like this? This is the place to do it. ZipRecruiter is a great place to hire for two reasons. First of all, they're going to find the best candidate. You're not going to miss the best candidate because with a single click, you can send your job to 50-plus job sites and social networks, including Facebook and Twitter. Just one click and off it goes, and this widest possible net is cast across the internet. The second reason is going to make it really easy. You're going to get a bunch of unqualified candidates, unfortunately. It's just the nature of the beast when you hire people. And ZipRecruiter will help filter out the qualified from the unqualified candidates based on your criteria. You can quickly screen applicants, rate them, hire the right person fast. And this is why ZipRecruiter has been used by more than 200,000 happy businesses. And right now, our listeners and viewers can try ZipRecruiter for free. Plus, get 30% off your first traffic boost. Now, the traffic boost is sort of like a turbo mode for your job search. It just puts your job everywhere into their newsletter and all over the place. And you get that by going to ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. That's ZipRecruiter.com. And the most important part is /TNT for Tech News Today. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support of this show. We've got some big numbers for you. How about 24,000? That's how many pictures Apple took of a flower while creating its motion watch face for the Apple Watch, according to a feature on Wired. In order to create another animation, the jellyfish motion watch face, Apple built a tank inside of its design studio and used a phantom slow-mo camera to photograph these creatures. And they were shooting at 4K resolution at 300 frames a second for a little tiny picture like that, a little tiny animation. Shard Tipkin, have they gone overboard? Do we need to send somebody in there, like, you know, go after them like Colonel Kurtz or something?
Well, I was wondering who gets the fish tank now. What happens with that? I don't know. I mean, Apple's always gone above and beyond with details and trying to make sure everything's perfect. I mean, that does seem a little bit extreme. Like, I don't know if anybody's going to actually look at those watch faces for more than, you know, a couple seconds or even, you know, really think about it. But, you know, if it's something that people end up really liking, I guess, it'll be worth it. And, you know, they have the workforce, the money, and the time to do this kind of stuff. So might as well.
They could have photographed these sea creatures inside of a building made out of cash. Like, they have so much money.
Yeah, it's like Uncle Scrooge swimming through his, like, money.
That's right. Scrooge McDuck, right. They probably have a big room with gold coins. They dive in it, you know.
Yeah.
Tim Cook jumps in it and splashes around.
Part. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, and also, it has to be said also that this sounds very Steve Jobsian. There's something pure about it. If you look at the butterfly animation or some of the animations we've seen glimpses of, it looks like it must have been done. You figure, you know, this is probably a combination of photography and CGI, or maybe it's all CGI. And what's amazing about this is there is no CGI. This is pure photography, all of these animated wash faces. So that it's really kind of an interesting project that somebody at Apple did. Somebody well paid, I'm sure. Well, our TNT fan of the day is Andrew Highland in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, who posted this picture on Twitter of himself watching the show with his son, Brady. And we have an increasingly younger demographic, and I suspect that it's because our audience is reproducing. and Brady is going to just know everything there is to know about technology by the time he's two. So that's really cool. How do you watch?
It's going to change by then anyway. So.
Exactly. Well, how do you watch or listen to TNT? Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup and post it on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook, and use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT so we can find it. Shard Tipkin, what are you working on these days, and how can people find it?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a really busy week on my beat. I cover both Apple and Samsung. So Apple Watch pre-orders start at 12:01 tonight, Pacific time. And, you know, we also have the Galaxy S6 and the Galaxy S6 Edge launching. So lots going on. You can follow me on Twitter or tune into CNET. You know, everything I write turns up there.
And Shara is on Twitter at Shara Tipkin. Just search Twitter for her handle there and you'll find it. Thank you so much for co-anchoring today, Shara.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, you can subscribe to Tech News Today on TuneIn, or you can choose another way to subscribe at twit.tv/TNT. You can watch us live, of course, every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC at live.twit.tv or on the app or browser plugin of your choice, which you can find at twit.tv/apps. You can find us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV, and you can follow me personally on Instagram. I'm at instagram.com/MikeElgin with one E in the middle. Let us know what you think. Send us email to tnt@twit.tv or call 260-TNT-SHOW. Nobody's going to answer the phone. You just have to leave a message, and we may even play it on the air. Also, don't miss Tech News Tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific every single weeknight. And that is the Tech News Today. My name's Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow.